السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. In the previous weeks, we discussed that a person on the path to obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has two obstacles. One is shaitan and the other is his nafs. One is shaitan, the eternal enemy, and the other is his nafs, his desires which are within him. Whenever a person feels like doing something wrong, it is either one of these two at play. Either it is shaitan whispering something into his heart and mind, or it is his nafs, his desires which are making him inclined towards something. And many a time they are both at play. If there was no shaitan and there was no nafs, then a person would never ever do anything wrong. That is why the angels, they never do anything wrong. Because firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given shaitan the ability to influence angels, to whisper evil thoughts. And secondly, they have no nafs. They have no desires of their own. Their desire is whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them to do. So these are the two things that make us carry out something wrong. And after that we discuss how a person combats shaitan. And the gist and the summary of how a person combats shaitan is that a person, he does two things. He carries out, he seeks the refuge of Allah Ta'ala. Whenever an evil thought comes, then a person says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Or if he wants in his own language, he can say, Oh Allah, protect me from shaitan. In a hadith it is mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a person, I'm explaining the summarizing the hadith for you in my own words, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a person gets angry, then he should recite A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan al-wajib. Why is that? Because shaitan has a part to play in making a person angry. So when a person says A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan al-wajib, he is seeking refuge from shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah give him protection from shaitan. So this is one thing a person should do. And in seeking refuge from shaitan, we mentioned that of particular importance are the different masnoon ad'iyah and masnoon supplications. We went into this some detail a few weeks ago. But the masnoon supplications, which we all know, before eating, after eating, before entering the masjid, when leaving the masjid, before entering the toilet when leaving, entering the home, before sleeping. A very large number of these are there to protect us from the effects of shaitan. So as well as seeking refuge from shaitan, whenever a person has an evil thought, a person should make these a part and parcel of his life. These are not difficult. There are some actions in our deen which are very easy, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed great barakah and great effect in them. They are very easy, but the effects and the benefits are great. One of them is masnoon supplications, masnoon du'as. Very easy.
Who can say that reading Bismillah wa Barakatullah before eating is difficult? No one can say. If I tell someone that read one juz of tilawa a day, read half a juz of tilawa a day, they can say that it's difficult. I need to take the time out. I need to be willing to do it. But no one can say that Bismillah wa Barakatullah, I don't have the will to do it. It takes a few seconds. But these few seconds, they are beneficial. They have great benefit. Individually, each masnoon dua has great benefit as well. Great benefit in this world and the hereafter. Let me give you a few examples, just so we understand. With those du'as that we all know. Let us start with before eating. Bismillah wa barakatillah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if a person recites Bismillah wa barakatillah before eating, then shaitan cannot partake of the food. Acha, if shaitan does partake of the food, what will happen? If shaitan partakes of the food, the effect is that the food will not decrease in amount. But shaitan has the ability to take away the barakat and the blessings in that food. And when the barakat and blessings are taken away from that food, then a person may eat, but two possible harms can come about. One possible harm is that he is eating, but despite eating how much should fill him, he does not feel satisfied. This is one possible effect of the lack of barakah. Once the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they came with a complaint to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we eat but we don't feel satisfied. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, maybe you eat separately? Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, that's correct. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from now on you do two things. From now on you do two things. One thing you must do is you must eat together. What does eat together mean? Eat together first means instead of eating on your own, at your own time, try to eat with someone at the same time, on the same dasturkhan, at the same place. A family, instead of eating, yes, there are some situations where this person comes home at this time, this person comes home 2 hours later. That is a different matter. But we are all at home at lunchtime, then we should eat together at the same time. That is the first level of eating together. And the second level of eating together is that a person eats from the same utensil. So if two people can eat from the same plate, or more than two, that is even better. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the habit was never to have separate plates. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had plates of large sizes. And for example, in the hadith, different sizes of plates have come. Some hadith mentioned that there were plates where 10 people could eat together. So in our time, we should try to make it a point that if there is no real difficulty, that at least two people should eat together. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that is one thing you need to do. And the second thing you need to do is you need to recite Bismillah before eating. Why is that? Because we mentioned the reason. The reason is that if a person does not recite Bismillah before eating, Bismillah, and if Bismillah wa barakatillah is even better. If a person does not, because Bismillah wa barakatillah has a second virtue which will come onto. But if a person just recites Bismillah, the effect of it is that shaitan cannot take away the barakah of that food. And when shaitan does not, what happens when shaitan takes away the barakah of the food? One possible harm, a person eats but he does not feel satisfied. There is a large amount of food, but only a few people are able to eat from it. Once the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they were sitting down to eat. And they had all recited Bismillah, Bismillah wa Barakatullah before eating. So they were all eating. And one person came to join them. One person came to join them. And he was very hungry. So he came. And immediately he began eating. And within moments, that food which they were all sharing and they were all eating, and it seems it was plentiful, And it was filling it was saturating everyone. Within minutes it finished. Within moments. Sahaba radiallahu anhu began wondering, what is going on here? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that person who came, we all recited Bismillah before eating, but that person who arrived later, he forgot to recite Bismillah, so shaitan found his way in. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that actually shaitan sent that person here. That was his way in to destroy the barakah of our food. So one possible harm, we eat but we don't feel satiated. That is a sign of lack of barakah. And second sign of lack of barakah, that energy which we get from the food, we are not able to use it for good and beneficial actions. So now we have understood that barakah is extremely important in food. And the way to preserve it is to say Bismillah wa barakatil, Bismillah. Even Bismillah will suffice. And if a person says Bismillah wa barakatillah, there is another virtue which we are getting onto. So if there is one person who before eating every day recites Bismillah, another person before eating every day, he does not recite Bismillah, he does not remember Allah, over the lifespan, this person will gain so many more barakat. What did we say? These little du'as go a long way. Now let us come on to the second virtue of Bismillah wa barakatillah. After we finish eating, the common dua is Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana muslimin. That is the common dua. And that is found in the hadith as well. Here we should mention that some of us, when we were young, then we learned wa ja'alana min al-muslimin. We learned Bismillah wa ala barakatillah. And so we learned وَجَعَلَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. The ulama, in light of what is mentioned in the hadith, they have said it is more correct to recite Bismillahi وَبَرَكَةِ اللَّهِ no ala in the middle. And Alhamdulillah الَّذِي أَطْعَمَنَا وَسَقَانَا وَجَعَلَنَا مُسْلِمِينَ no مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. So if a person has learnt it that way and he can correct himself, then that will be better. So we have mentioned that this is the common dua. And this has a great benefit as well. But before coming on to this benefit, let us finish off with the second virtue of Bismillah wa Barakatillah. Person recites Bismillah wa Barakatillah before eating. And after eating, he recites the following dua. Alhamdulillah alladhi huwa ashba'ana wa arwana wa an'ama alayna wa afdal. It's not a long dua. Inshallah, when we get a chance, we will put it on the notice board. We have previous annual, so people can learn it. Alhamdulillah alladhi huwa ashba'ana wa arwana wa an'ama alayna wa afdal. Not very long, because it is not common. We don't usually learn it in the maktab, in the madrasa when we are young. That is why we don't know it. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once going to eat. He was with Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu, and they were extremely hungry. They were extremely hungry. And one sahabi, he gave them dawah to eat. Extremely hungry does not mean in our time that, you know, lunch got 1 hour late, so extreme. No, extremely hungry could possibly mean they hadn't eaten for days. And one sahabi gave them da'wah, invitation to come and eat. They went, he gave them food. After they finished eating, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you will be questioned for all the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, this food as well? Meaning we were absolutely in need of this food and we will be questioned as well. Questioned meaning, questioned for every blessing of Allah Ta'ala. Mean, I gave you this, how did you use it? If Allah Ta'ala gave someone wealth, I gave you wealth, how did you use it? If Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gave someone status, I gave you status, how did you use it? I gave you food, how did you use it? The energy you got from that food, did you use it in good or did you use it in evil? ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will be asked for every single blessing. Let me sidetrack for a moment and mention a point which is extremely important. We need to, from time to time, take out a few moments to remember the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because now the culture has become complain, complain and complain. Unfortunately, and we are all victim of it. If some small hardship comes, today the food is 1 hour late, or today there is some misunderstanding here or there, there is no food, and we get home, our usual food time, no, food is still being ready. Or the food is something we don't like, or the food is a little bit short, then complain. And we feel deprived. We feel we don't have much. Sometimes the thought comes, I don't have anything. When two, three problems come together. And the reason for that is because our mind fails to go to the hundreds and thousands of blessings of Allah Ta'ala that we have on a daily basis. Because we don't think about them, we take them for granted. And when some small blessing of Allah Ta'ala is taken away, and that even maybe for a day, maybe temporary, and sometimes permanent, then we feel like my life has turned upside down. So you still have all the other hundreds of blessings, and one blessing has been taken, but because your eyes are blind to that, you feel like everything has been taken away. The solution to that is that every so often, once every week or so, take a few moments out and choose any one blessing of Allah Ta'ala, just one, and think about it. Allah, sit down for a few moments and think, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gave me the blessing of eyes. Imagine if I didn't have them. What would my life be if I didn't have them? Allah Ta'ala gave me them. Is it a blessing I can put a price tag on? Absolutely not. If I didn't have these eyes, any amount of wealth would not be able to replace them. So I have my teacher and Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Salim Durrat Sahib, he says that every single one of us is a millionaire and a billionaire. Why? Because just look at the blessings within our body. If someone offered us £1 million for one eye, none of us would take it. We have two of those eyes. That is just one blessing of Allah Ta'ala. But because we don't think about them, we take them for granted. And we take them for granted, so when a blessing is taken away, then we feel down. We feel depressed. We think, I have nothing. And at the same time, Shaitan keeps making us look at those people who have a little, who have one blessing more than us, who have something we don't. And the result is that we feel down. And number two, we never appreciate the blessings of Allah Ta'ala and what Allah Ta'ala has done for us. From time to time, we should take a few moments out and take any one blessing of Allah Ta'ala and think about it. Think, what did I do to earn it? Oh, the normal rule of this world, you get what you earn. You don't go into the first day of the job and the manager says, this is your first month's wage packet. You get it at the end of the month. And usually the first month they make some excuse, this is training, you will get half the amount or whatever. Normal rule. But Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, from birth, He gave us a whole load of blessings and He keeps them. And nor does He ever ask that you need to pay me back. You need to carry on obeying me. Now you have reached the age of puberty, if you use these eyes for my obedience, then I will keep them. If you misuse them, I will take them. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala doesn't do that. So from time to time, we should think about the blessings of Allah Ta'ala. One benefit is that in this world, we will remain happy. We will remain content, we will remain satisfied. Nowadays, the illnesses like depression, anxiety are so at large. And one of the reasons is this. We don't feel content, we don't feel satisfied. And why don't we? Because we don't look at what we have. We're always looking at what we don't have. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a very beautiful principle. He said that when it comes to dini matters, then look at those who are ahead of you. Look at those who are ahead of you. Because as long as you look at those who are behind you, you will never ever progress in deen. You will always have this misconception that I've already booked my place in Jannah. No one else prays Salah in my family, I'm the only one who performs it. You will not look at, I'm not performing in the masjid. I have so many other disobedience of Allah in my life, you will remain happy that I'm doing more than them, so I must be in Jannah. The criteria for being in Jannah is not, I do more than everything around me. The criteria for entering Jannah is that I am obedient to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala according to His guidelines. So when it comes to dini matters, look at those people who are ahead of you. You look at those people who are ahead of you, it will spur you on. You will always feel like progressing. You will always think, I am not doing much. And what is the principle in worldly matters? Look at those who are below you, who are less than you. Why? You will appreciate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. You will appreciate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. So if you, I was saying, if you ponder upon the blessings of Allah ta'ala, worldly benefit, you will feel happy. Even when difficult times comes, you will get consolation. That Alhamdulillah, this month we are struggling with the bills, but I still have a roof over my head. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every day before going to sleep, he would recite a dua. He would say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi at'amana wa saqana. All praises to Allah who has fed me and gave me something to drink today. Wa kafana wa awana. And wa kafana, he has fulfilled my needs. Wa awana, and he has given me a roof over my head. فَكَمْ مِمَّنْ لَا كَافِيَ لَهُ وَلَا مُؤْوِي. How many people must be today, somewhere in the world, whose needs have not been fulfilled and who don't have a roof over their head? You and I are in the top 20% in terms of the number of blessings of Allah Ta'ala we have in this world. If you look around the globe, and even those of us who we feel I am struggling, we are in the top 20%. So the worldly benefit is that we will feel happy, we will feel content, we will get consolation even when we are in difficult times. And the deeni benefit of pondering upon the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, number one, you will get the tawfiq to do gratitude. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you show gratitude, I will give you more. If you show gratitude, I will give you more. So you show gratitude for the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, you appreciate them, Allah Ta'ala will increase them. Allah Ta'ala will give you more. And the second benefit is that definitely you will feel some love for Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in your heart. You will feel some love for Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in your heart. That my Allah has done this for me. My Allah has done that for me. Because it's the nature of a human that when someone does something for you, you get feeling in your heart is created for them. I always say, very small example. You're on the train, you're on the bus with a few bags. And you don't even need someone's help. You can get up, but someone helps you. You find place in your heart for them. You find feeling in your heart for them. Small blessing, small favor, which you didn't need, and someone did for you. You don't know the person, but you find place in your heart for them. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done so much for us, why don't we find place and love in our heart for Him? The reason is because we don't think about those blessings. If we start thinking about those blessings from time to time, inshallah, sooner or later we'll definitely feel love in our heart for them, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I was saying that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you will be questioned for every favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiallahu anhu said this as well. We've been starving and we had to eat this. And you will be questioned about this as well. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said yes. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but if a person recites one dua before eating and one dua after eating, he will not be questioned for that food which he ate. And the one dua before eating, we all know, Bismillah wa barakatillah. So half the job is already done for us. And the one dua after eating is what we need to learn, which is Alhamdulillah alladhi huwa ashba'ana wa arwana wa an'am alayna wa afdal. So this is a blessing, this is the second benefit, second virtue of reading Bismillah wa barakatillah before eating. And with that, Alhamdulillah alladhi huwa ashba'ana wa arwana wa an'am alayna wa afdal after eating. But I was saying that I was also going to mention that the common dua we read, Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana muslimin, has a great benefit as well. Let us come to that now. What is the meaning of the dua? Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amana wa saqana. Before going ahead, let me mention that the first thing we need to do is try and bring these duas into our life. The ones we know, let us bring them into our life. All of those we know, we have slowly got a habit of them, then slowly but surely start learning new ones. Ask the ulama, ask them. Nowadays you find small booklets which have multiple du'as like this in them. You, for example, by way of example, I will mention there is a small booklet of Hazrat Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafidhahullah called Radiant Prayers, which has these small du'as inside. Which a person, after he has practiced the ones he already knows, he should start learning these and bringing them into his life. That is one thing. And second thing, slowly try to not. It's not necessary to know the exact translation, but try to understand what you are saying. Bismillah wa barakatillah. I'm taking the name of Allah and I'm asking for barakah. So alhamdulillah, alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana muslimin. In there, we are doing three things. We are saying to Allah that I am grateful for the food you gave me. We are saying to Allah, I am grateful for whatever you gave me to drink. And number three, we are saying to Allah Ta'ala that I am grateful that you gave me iman. Three things we say in this dua. Now, the first two things mentioned in the dua make perfect sense to say right now. We've just eaten a meal. It makes perfect sense to say that, oh Allah, I am grateful to the food and to the drink you gave me. But what is the need to say at this time that, oh Allah, I am grateful for the blessing of iman? What's so special about eating a meal? What's eating a meal got to do with iman? That a person says after the meal that, oh Allah, I am grateful for the food, for the drink, and for the iman that you have given me. So the answer to that is that eating food has nothing to do with iman. But every single person eats food once a day, some twice a day, some three times a day, some more. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought that every person eats food. So, inshallah, with a bit of effort, they will recite the dua after eating. And we just mentioned the principle, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you show gratitude for something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you more. If Allah ta'ala gives you more, that means first He keeps that blessing with you. If you show gratitude for your health, Allah ta'ala will give you more health, that means He will carry on giving you good health. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must have thought that every person eats. So inshallah, every person who knows the dua, alhamdulillah, alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana muslimin, will read the dua. And in that dua, let me also make sure my ummatis, they show gratitude for iman. Because if a person shows gratitude for iman, Allah Ta'ala gives him more, that means Allah Ta'ala keeps his iman with him. And if Allah Ta'ala keeps his iman with him, inshallah, he will leave this world with iman. So one benefit of reciting Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana muslimin is that inshallah a person will leave this world with iman. We have just discussed the du'as before eating and after eating. This was not in my topic, but it came under discussion, so I thought I will mention it so we understand the benefits. And then we can carry on going on before entering the house, after coming out of the house. Nowadays, in every home, or in every second home, there are so many arguments. This person is not getting along with this person. Maybe it is the wife and the husband, maybe it is the brother and the sister. There are many reasons for it. One reason for it is that we don't follow the advice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of reading the dua when entering the home. What is the dua when entering the home? Allahumma inni as'aluka khayran mawlaj wa khayran makhraj. Oh Allah, I ask you for the good that will come as a result of entering and the good that will come as a result of leaving. That means, oh Allah, when I enter, then everything good that I could possibly see in my household may create that. And when I leave, everything good that could come as a result, give me that. If a person reads this every single time, enter in the home, then inshallah, barakat will definitely come in the home. Another thing a person is supposed to recite according to the hadith when he enters the home, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Anas radiallahu anhu that, oh Anas, recite salam when you enter the home because it will be a means of barakah and khair coming into your home. These small but very easy to recite du'as will solve so many of our problems in this world and the hereafter. So I'm finishing now. We, inshallah, the main point we will come on to next week. That let us, because we have mentioned something very important here, so let us take this lesson away. Let us make an intention that it is very easy to recite du'as, I am going to bring them into my life. And the first step is that those du'as I already know. Maybe they are a little bit rusty, because they were learnt when you were 6-7 years old. And if you don't clean something, get dust piles on it. Not rust is difficult to clean, dust piles on it. So when they are a bit rusty, meaning we will need to look at them once or twice, and we will need to read them for 1 or 2 days, but then they will come back. Let us bring them into our life. We didn't learn them so that we could pass the exam in Maktab. That was not the purpose. The purpose was that we bring them into our life. So, let's bring them into our life. And I will mention this as a side point. The ulama have said with Muslim dua, it is mustahab to recite it slightly audibly. Why? So that other people hear it and other people practice as well. So if a person can do that, that is even better. Let us, the du'as we know, let us slowly but surely bring them into our life. After we have done that, then the second thing we should try to do is try to learn more du'as, ask the ulama. And so, take 1 a week. Or if a person thinks 1 a week is too difficult for me to learn, one every 2 weeks, and learn it, bring it into my life. That is in my life, take another one. As we do this, inshallah, we will see the barakat increase in our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Ameen. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Here, I always endeavor to mention those things which are easy. Those things which are easy. But although they are easy, they will make the difficult things easy for you as well. So, what I have mentioned today is very easy. But you practice upon it, inshallah. Based on the Quran, the Hadith, I am saying this. Those actions, those deeds which are difficult to carry out, those sins which are difficult to stay away from, they will become easy as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to bring this into our life. Ameen. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Brother requested that try to come every week. If you cannot come every week, try to come every second week. If some week you are busy, then come for 10 minutes and then leave. I will not say in the middle of the talk, that sit down. You can't leave in the middle. Person is busy, we understand that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it.